Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 69 on November 20th, 2013 in the wee hours of the morning. I'm going to, right off the bat, avoid the cheesy 69 joke, even though some of you may be thinking it. And I'm going to launch right in. The very first thing I want to tell you is that I've had a couple of newcomers to the podcast mention that when they went to iTunes, that they were only able to go back so far. And I had some settings on my iTunes relationship that only allowed, I think 30 podcasts to show up. Now, one thing to remember is that you can always find my podcasts off of my website. You can just go and to the tag cloud and click weekly podcasts, and it'll pull up every single one and you can watch them individually. But I did go into iTunes and I did change the settings and I put it at 100. So seeing as we're only on number 69, you will still be able to find all of my podcasts on iTunes available for download. So let's see here. One of the first questions that I wanted to read had to do with the interviewee from a couple of weeks ago, the man who decided to go to a pro for his first experience, and then I interviewed him again. So this was a question submitted to this man. Any chance you can go back to the interviewee and find out which Aneros model he currently uses and which he is contemplating upgrading to? I'd also be interested in any Aneros experiences / recommendations your readers and listeners might have. So I did get in touch with him, and here was his feedback. I use the original white Helix model. I'm looking at the Vice now. It's bigger with vibration. I love vibration, but I use it sparingly. It's very intense. So that is his feedback. The original Helix model, the white one, is fairly small. So the difference between that and the Vice is somewhat significant. You asked, you'd be interested in Aneros experiences or recommendations from readers and listeners. You know, I have to say that the best place that I can send you is to the Aneros website themselves, because they have a forum over there. And if you want to know about Aneros experiences, that is the best place to do it. And please don't think that everybody there is some employee of Aneros or anything. It's pretty obvious when you get there that it's a very remarkable place, because it's a collection of men who are all talking about their sexuality and their orgasms, and they all are very supportive of each other in terms of buying, say, a brand new Aneros device and maybe not having the best results right off the bat. And you will get a chorus of men who are there at the forums giving you support and encouragement and advice on how to get the best results out of it. So that would be the place that I would send you. The web address for that is Aneros, aneros.com/forum. So that's where you can find all that information, and there's a ton of it there. It's a wealth of information. Okay, and then moving along, still talking about prostates, no surprise there. This is regarding the guy in podcast number 68 who was really having trouble feeling anything particular with prostate stimulation. Got a response, a comment on the blog that I thought I'd read here. I was one of those guys that had trouble getting any pleasure from prostate stimulation. However, after lots of practice, I'm now able to have an orgasm just from being pegged. You need a toy that's really curved. And then he writes, this is the one for me. And what he linked to is on the website called Pipe Dream. And it, let's see, this toy is called, it's from the Anal Fantasy Collection. And it's called the Two Finger Fantasy Plug. It is not for beginners because it does have an inch and a half diameter, but it's curved really nicely and it has two little loops for holding onto it with your fingers. So I can see by the design how well it must work. It says that it's made from silicone, but it does say that it's made from, quote, elite silicone, and that term is trademarked. So that leads me to believe it may not be 100% silicone. It does say it's phthalate-free, hypoallergenic, and can be worn all day for lasting fun. That would be kind of interesting. One of the things that I see in here that I'm having a really hard time with is it says the kit includes 2 finger sleeves. Those don't upset me. Anal desensitizing cream, anal lube, and toy cleaner. Yeah, anal desensitizing cream is really, really awful. And it's horrible that they include that in the kit because it's pretty dangerous to use that for anal play. And besides, you know what? You really would like to feel things. So I'm not real pleased about that. I'm not real pleased about necessarily the quality of the product. It seems to be fine, but it's made in China. Maybe it's not the best silicone in the world, and they have desensitizing cream in it. Nonetheless, the curve of it, the design of it, really looks quite lovely. So I can see how it worked so well for this person that wrote in. So let me get back to the letter. You need a toy that's really curved. This is the one that worked for me. The real key here is to practice solo and maybe use some porn. Also, you'll find the prostate should be much more sensitive if you haven't come for a few days to a week. Sometimes it takes a bit over 10 minutes of prostate massage before you'll even feel anything. At some point, you can combine it with masturbation. You can try stopping and starting with masturbation while continuing with the toy. Hope that helps. So then what happened is I posted that on the blog, intending to read it on the podcast, and I heard back from the original person who was the man who was having difficulty having any sensation with prostate play, and here's what he said. Thank you so much for taking the time to reply. After submitting my question to Ruby, my wife and I took a trip to the adult toy store on a mission to find a new toy. We actually listened to podcast 68 on the way, taking mental notes on everything we heard. We put a lot more thought into the purchase than we had in the past, thanks to the advice we heard on the podcast. All in all, we spent a good 3 to 4 hours shopping before we had one in hand, so to speak. We followed Ruby's advice and purchased one that would allow us to use a bullet and one with an angle so as to better massage the prostate. The dildo was about 6.5 inches long and 1.25 inches around, so not too big. We were also able to locate my wife a toy that could provide her with pleasure while she fucked me. I'm a strange, quote-unquote, man, in that I need to know she is taken care of sexually before I can truly enjoy myself. With the purchases made, we couldn't wait to test things out. Finally, after the kids were in bed, the night began. With a warm water enema and hot shower completed, I headed off to bed, mood lighting in place, soft music playing, and my wife fully strapped. We were ready to give it another try. We laid on our sides, as for me, that is the best way for me to start things off. For the first 5 to 6 minutes, it was about the same. It was just okay. Then I realized that for the position we were in, we had the dildo facing the wrong way. After we turned that sucker around, it was a whole different experience. It was much more enjoyable than it had been in the past, and at times, I really thought I was going to lose my mind. We tried many different positions, but my favorite was, I think, what is called the backwards cowgirl, or cowboy in my case. I was riding her, but facing away from her. The vibrating action was extremely enjoyable as well, and while I am not 100% sure my prostate was being stroked, whatever she was doing was working. Oh my, it was working. She really enjoyed seeing me enjoying myself, and together we had a wonderful experience that I am waiting to repeat. I am blessed to have a wonderful partner in my life that is patient with me and willing to stick it out with me until we found how to maximize my pleasure. Very thankful that I turned to Ruby for assistance. I think she was amazing to take the time to not only respond to my plea for help, but to do so in such a timely manner. Thank you once again for your response, and I have already done some research into the toys you suggested. Look forward to our next trip to the store. I do have several more questions, as this is all still new to me, and in the near future we'll submit those. In the meantime, we look forward to continuing our education and enjoying all the podcasts. Keep up the amazing job. Yay. So the first thing I wanted to say was, you mentioned I am a strange man in that I need to know she is taken care of sexually before I can truly enjoy myself. That's actually really common, and that is something that sometimes interferes with pegging play because the man is so insistent and programmed to make sure that his partner is having pleasure either simultaneously or prior to the experience, that influences choice of toys as well. Sometimes that's it's always a nice gesture, but sometimes it works in the disadvantage in the beginning because the learning curve of learning how to use a strap-on is so steep for women because we've never had one, that when you combine with it the attempts to make sure that she's enjoying herself, which involves more equipment usually, and then expecting her to try and have an orgasm and learn how to fuck you at the same time, it can be dicey. Many of my listeners have heard me say this, but I'm going to repeat it and repeat it because it's so important. So, but no, you're not strange, sir. It's lovely that you like to know she's taken care of before you can enjoy yourself. I had to laugh when that one sentence, just the one sentence, really made me laugh out loud. After we turned that sucker around, it was a whole different experience. I love that. And yes, when you have a curved dildo and you turn it the right way, it really can be an amazing experience and be much more enjoyable. So I'm very glad that you both persisted, explored, tried things again, and had success. That is totally, totally awesome. Congratulations to the both of you. And any more questions you have in the future, send them my way. Okay, another letter. I once saw a workshop from you at the sanctuary here in Denver a couple of years ago, and I wanted to ask you a few questions if you care to provide some insight. I identify as a switch, but have been primarily a dom and even a master the past 3 to 4 years. I have had a few subs and recently a slave. My contract with my slave recently expired, and we decided to move on, but now she's interested in topping me. I was very excited because I have not been dominated since college. We have played a few times, and just this past week, she bought a strap-on. She wants to try pegging, and I haven't been pegged in years. The strap-on looks a little large to me. It's 6.5 inches long and 1.5 inches in diameter. I'm by no means an anal novice, but I'm definitely out of season, if you will. I know you have significant experience. Is this an unusual size? Are they normally smaller or larger? Just wonder what the leap from plugs to full-on pegging looks like. Any insight you provide is greatly appreciated. Okay, my short answer on this is that a 1.5 inch diameter is a pretty solid medium, and it takes a bit of work for the uninitiated or the out of practice. The general rule, and of course there's always going to be people who are a little different out there, the general rule is that beginning size in terms of diameter is about a 1.25 inch, unless the man's really tight, which you run into sometimes. So I would suggest, if she wants to fuck you with that you purchase a butt plug that is 1.5 inches, and you work up to it, taking all the time you need to do it. Actually, one of the ones I would recommend, there's no relationship here, but it's cool, it's the same name, is the Tantus butt plug called the Rider, and it's actually spelled the same as my last name, R-Y-D-E-R, and I actually have two of them. And the Rider is a great size and shape, so play with that, masturbate with it in, walk around the house with it in, and even go out and about with it in if that's your thing, and if maybe you won't get an erection from having it in. But that is going to prepare you well for what she has planned. And I think that just jumping right into that without doing some preparation would probably be a mistake. You might be able to take it, but, you know, better to be prepared and know that 1.5 inches in diameter is no big deal. 6.5 inches long is not too long. It's a long one, but, you know, depending on the positions that she would like to try and you would like to try, 6 inches long gives you a great length for not being extremely long, but still allowing yourself some thrusting room in the different positions, which anything shorter than 6 inches, I really am of the opinion that it limits your positions because the thrusting causes it to fall out since we're women and we can't feel it when it starts to fall out. Okay, so let's see here. And I did get this letter some time ago, and I'm so sorry it took me a little while to answer it. Write and let me know if you have already done the deed. I hope it went swimmingly. Okay, here's another one. Hello, Ruby. I'm and I love when my wife pegs me. My wife is bi and I'm straight. We are swingers, but mostly just play with single women, sometimes couples. My wife enjoys fucking women with her strap on. She has only pegged me a few times, but she has fucked me with a vibrator, dildo, and finger many times over the past few years. I have trouble asking her to strap on me. I know I'm not gay, but still feel it makes me kind of look gay for asking for the strap on. The few times she has used the strap-on on me, we were drunk or she has taken Ambien to sleep, laugh out loud. I love her taking me and pounding me with her 8-inch strap-on, pinning me to the bed. I have never come as hard as I have from the strap-on and her jerking me off. The feeling of being taken and fucked by a sexy woman is amazing. So I guess the point of this letter is, knowing our background, what's the best way to ask for it? Funny, with the openness we have, I am still so shy about asking for this. Wish we were closer. Would love to go to your class, but we're in New York. I've read your advice section, but with any other insight would be great. Thanks for your time. You're an awesome lady. Ooh, thank you for the compliments. Those are always so appreciated. And thanks for getting really detailed and describing the situation for me. The input I have for you is this. First of all, go easy on yourself, because what you're doing is you're overcoming a lot of conditioning to not appear vulnerable, to not appear gay, to not be judged, really. And when men first approach pegging, usually there is a certain measure of shame attached to it. Because of the societal taboos and because of these misconceptions and connotations. So go easy on yourself and know that that is really what you're trying to deprogram yourself, if you will. It's not uncommon for men, when they first start doing this, to really love it and really want it a lot. I have read letters in the past where women complain that their men want it all the time and they would actually like some regular sex once in a while. I have also read letters from men who have said they really want it all the time. And I don't have any judgment about that, because I think it's like a new toy when you found something that makes you feel so incredibly good and it's a new thing. Sure, I would want to do it all the time. So that part is understandable that you want it. Don't judge yourself for that either. So then, getting down to your question, how do you ask for it? Well, the most important thing is that you can ask for it. I think that there's lots of different ways to ask for it, but I think that the most important thing is to, at some point in time, sit down with her and say, you know, I still feel weird about asking for this, but I love it, and I think you love it. And if you do, I'd like to do it regularly. So maybe we can work something out where I can come up and give you a code word, or I can come up and put your hand on my ass. I mean, see what I mean? There's a lot of different ways that you could work out to ask for this. And if it was a movement like that, with, like, you know, coming up and just taking her hand and putting it on your ass, that way no words would even be involved and you would know what that meant. It is good to have this conversation with her when you are both sober and when you are not in bed, to just have a serious conversation about it, because that is the best time to discuss kind of sensitive things. If you're talking about it like as soon as you get in bed, then there's this implicit sort of pressure that this is what you want, or this is what we're going to do next, and it's good to separate that. There are some people who think that it's very good to talk about these things after you have great sex. I'm a fan of separating it a little bit, just so that it's really clear. And especially if you guys have done like the liquid courage on your part and non-liquid courage on her part, good to talk about it just with words, with no other liquid or otherwise courage, and be straight with her about it. Also, when you do this, when you ask her, try and have it be something that's just really exciting and that you're really excited about. As Dan Savage says, don't present it like you have leukemia or that you want something that is like leukemia. In other words, get excited. Say, you know what? I absolutely love that. Every time you do it, I fucking love it. It feels so good, and it seems like you really enjoy it too. So I'd like to do this more often, and I feel kind of weird asking for it. So can we figure out a way that makes it easier for me to ask for it? And, you know, just put it out there on the table. Or my last suggestion would be, and I know this sounds strange for the people who love spontaneity in their love life, go ahead and make a schedule. Say, you know what? Every Monday, I would so love it if you would fuck me in the ass, because then you have that day to look forward to. You don't have to ask for it. And you both know that's what's happening. It will help you handle your diet, you know, you getting cleaned out beforehand. So that's an option as well. But, a lot of it really comes down to just taking a deep breath and opening up your mouth and saying, hey, you know, can I talk to you about something? And women are so, I was going to make a big generalization here, but I'm going to back up on that. I would like to think that women are sensitive enough to where when they hear that you're having trouble asking for something sexually, that, you know, they work with you on that and they would like to try and find a way to make it easier. But that's the only way to make it easier is to talk with her about it and let her know that you're having a little bit of difficulty asking for it. It's not like there is a perfect way. And I think that even just talking with her and telling her that you're feeling uncomfortable will help you. It will definitely help you. Okay. Next letter. My partner and I have been together for 6 years, but we are new to pegging. It all started with some adventuresome sex while we were camping in our RV. During a very heated and extended session of sex, she began to finger my asshole and it felt great. I asked her to continue and to gradually insert more fingers. Before that session ended, she had inserted 3 fingers in me and then partially inserted a banana in my ass. I can honestly say the world has simply not been the same since I've had fruit shoved up my ass and I liked it. Prior to this experience, and only in the last several months, my partner had requested that I provide her with anal sex. Quite honestly, up until she requested anal sex, I had never tried it. My ex-wife considered it dirty and obscene. My partner is quite different, and after spending some time telling and showing me how to provide her with satisfying anal sex, I could see how much she enjoyed it. If she enjoyed anal sex that much, I decided that there must be something more to it. Like most men, I figured it was going to hurt, and of course I didn't want to be thought of as gay. But still, I wanted to explore anal sex, so I went online and purchased an inexpensive beginner's harness and a plug-in type dildo. The company I purchased the items from included some lubricant. I am sad to report that our first 2 attempts at pegging were less than successful, simply because I could not relax enough to just let it happen. Also, the inexpensive harness that I purchased did not fit my partner very well and was very difficult to use. To make matters worse, the dildo I chose was way too big and really not designed for pegging at all. After both sessions, I was left with a very sore anus and more than my fair share of disappointment. My partner was frustrated as well, and she said that she felt completely disconnected from the action, more of an unwilling participant. I am very fortunate that my partner is a very understanding and loving woman that wants us to share all aspects of our lives. She suggested we look for more information on the subject and try again when we got things better sorted out. About a week later, I purchased the book, The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure by Glickman and Amirzian. The book was fantastic. It explained the pegging process quite thoroughly and what we both should expect. I bought a copy for my partner as well. Also, the authors were very clear about dispelling the entire gay phobia rationale that says if a man enjoys anal sex, he must be gay. Glickman and Amirzian posit that the kind of sex a person enjoys has nothing to do with their sexual orientation. I fully support that view. I also went back to the internet and started searching for everything I could find about pegging and how other couples enjoyed it and what equipment they used. That is how I stumbled onto your wonderful website. Well, after perusing your website, listening to and reading what you and your contributors had to say on the topic of pegging, I did two things. I purchased my partner a Jacques harness by Spare Parts and a Tango Double Ender by Happy Valley. Also, as recommended by Glickman and Amirzian, over the past several weeks, I have been spending about 15 to 20 minutes a day inserting a much smaller dildo into my ass, learning to relax, as well as stretching and training my inner and outer anal sphincters, teaching them to relax as well. Deep breathing exercises, as recommended by Glickman and Amirzian, and the proper lubricant are also very important. I now know that going slowly and taking your time, training your anal muscles is the correct basis of successful pegging. The time, the money, and the training all paid off. Today, my partner and I experienced a thrilling session of pegging that was out of this world. What a complete difference the right equipment makes. The Tango, along with the Jacques harness, really allowed my partner to participate in the action and enjoy doing the pegging as much as I enjoyed being on the receiving end. 90 days ago, I would have never dreamed that getting fucked in the ass could feel so good. But most importantly, I now know what it's like to reverse sex roles. Being placed in the recipient's role during sex was not only liberating, but for me, it was deeply erotic as well. By letting go of my preconceived and wrong-headed notions about anal sex, I have experienced the most soul-centered orgasm I have ever had. Ruby, thank you for taking the time to develop your website and for telling the truth about pegging. I live some distance from California, so I can't listen to your radio show, but please tell your listeners that having the right equipment, along with being armed with the necessary knowledge, is the key to enjoying pegging. Oh yes, and be sure to tell them, remember to take it slow. What a great story. Thank you so much for sending that in. What you wrote really basically perfectly illustrates my insistence that, you know, buy once and buy quality. It's tempting to buy the cheaper stuff. It always is. You know, none of us like to spend a ton of money. But when you do, this is a perfect example of what can happen. When it doesn't fit right, it's harder to use. And as I say over and over again, the learning curve for women is steep enough anyway to where you really want something that fits and is not only fits well, but it's comfortable. And ideally, something that's enjoyable to wear, whether there's a vibe on it, whether there's a G-spot on a double ender, something that is a pleasure to wear. So you found that out, and I'm sorry to hear about the first experience that you had, because that's no fun, and that is so frustrating when you have this fantasy in your head and you think it's going to be so great, and then it just ends up being something that's really kind of no fun at all. And too large of a dildo, yes, there are men who do the eyes bigger than their ass purchase the first time, which is why I keep saying about an inch and a quarter in diameter is usually about as big as you want to go for the first time. The equipment that you bought, yeah, that's my favorite. That's my absolute favorite. And I'm glad you guys had just as good of an experience. What I loved about your letter was the detail that you went into about how much information you got from that book by Charlie Glickman and Aislinn Amirzian. It really is a remarkable book, and there's so much information in there that it's a great resource for getting in touch with your prostate, for the basic information about pegging, and for really making the whole experience a lot better. And you're absolutely right. You really need to be armed with a whole bunch of information, as well as having the best equipment that you can get. So, you know, in honor of your success, even though it was like the third time that you tried it, I'm going to kind of hook you in from the front end to the next thing that I'm going to talk about, which is pegging celebration time. What else? Oh, this pegging celebration time is actually from last week. This is her point of view. What I read you last week was his point of view. So I thought I'd separate them just for some, I don't know, for drama, for entertainment, for contrast. So from last week, this is her point of view. Ruby, thanks to your careful guidance, I was able to peg my Dom successfully. For me, granting his fantasy was my top goal. However, what I didn't quite expect was to see the powerful impact it had on him, and, well, us for that matter. Wow, what an amazing experience. Yes, as my Dom has stated, I had a very vanilla sex life, and hardly an exciting one at that. So yes, all of these new experiences I entered into, I entered as a virgin. I am so thankful that he is so open, honest, free, and willing. Not to mention a highly sexual and sensual man, absolutely perfect. Thank you for your recommendation on the Jaguar Harness by Aslin Leather through Smitten Kitten. Wow, that is so flippin' comfortable. Before my first trip, I did try it on several times to make necessary adjustments and strap the dildo in to get comfortable with the setup. I have to admit, I was looking so forward to the new experience but was not expecting the mind-blowing results. Thanks to the chemistry we have, it allowed us to be so intimate without a single hesitation. And as you know, leading up to and pegging him is very intimate and, like some have stated, bonding. I did enjoy massaging his ass as we prepared for the next step. Oh, the butt plug. Yes, I struggled with it, but as with anything with all of this, it takes time, patience, and careful guidance. Thankfully, he assisted in the insertion, but I was watching him and checking with him frequently to be sure he was okay throughout all of this. We have great communication, so that's not going to be a problem. So when it was time for me to peg him, the one thing I remember hearing you say often in your podcast, plenty of lube. Well, the kink bag that we have put together has plenty, so he was very well lubed, which obviously helps. Taking him to the hilt, yeah, wow, I've never seen such pleasure in a man. Seeing how he responded, body language, some things he managed to softly speak, etc., was so amazing and stimulating. I took great pleasure in taking him to the hilt, even more so on the second weekend. I was very fortunate that he worked with me during the firsts of this and never made me to feel like an idiot for being a virgin with all of this. He made it easy to be honest. It's too bad that more women don't peg their men. Seeing them satisfied is so rewarding. Nothing like it out there. I am looking forward to an active sexual and pegging journey with my Dom. Well, the second weekend was even better, longer, etc. We have the Liberator pillow ramp set up. That will take some time to add to the mix, but we will enjoy it. On a side note, yes, when he introduced me to my G-spot, I did dig into him pretty good, removing some skin and not far from drawing blood, and I never even knew it. I was, you could say, in another place during that experience. Fucking mind-blowing. It's truly amazing to see the pleasure wash over him. I enjoyed bringing this level of pleasure and passion into play. I found it stimulating massaging him and fucking him for as long as he could take it. I am so glad I've been introduced to pegging. What an experience. Thanks again, Ruby, for all of what you do in educating us. Part of the reason I wanted to read this separately was because both of them were just so, there's so much, they're so rich in description and in, they're so evocative of what this couple went through. And I just love hearing the difference in the two and the similarities. I also always enjoy hearing a really detailed description from a woman about how much she loves it. And of course, there's that ever-present emotional bonding vulnerability thing that is the hook for me, and many other women seem to very much love as well. So I'm really, really happy for you guys. I wanted to pay the music twice for you guys. So, and G-spot stuff at the same time? Wow. Yeah, I know what you mean about practically taking some skin off. I've been there as well. G-spot's pretty intense. So yay, happy for you. Thanks for writing in. Okay, I'm going to move on with a few more letters for the rest of the podcast. Here's an interesting one. Since getting my wife the Shane Diesel realistic dildo, she has had a UTI. She loves the size and feel, but now is worried about the smell and possibility of causing her UTI. I washed it twice before initial use, and she has washed several times. Do you know if others have had this problem? Also, on the first use, we used double penetration, one in anus and dildo in vagina. Is it possible some cross-contamination occurred? I hate to throw it away since she loves it so much. Your thoughts? Okay, it's funny. I have a vague recollection of Shane Diesel being a porn star. So I was pretty sure that's what it was like a realistic casting of his cock. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what the deal is. But when I looked up and found it, I found that the material that this dildo is made out of is actually rubber. So here's what the deal is with rubber. Rubber is porous. Rubber can hold bacteria. And I did read some of the results. I'm sorry, not the results, the reviews regarding this dildo, and they said it had a very, very strong smell. That's really never a good sign. You want something that has no smell at all, ideally. I do not believe that the rubber that this toy is made out of has those toxic things called phthalates, those chemicals, but I'm quite sure that it's porous. And when that happens, it is not sterilizable and it will hold bacteria. So here's the deal. What probably happened is some bacteria got in there, and that's exactly what's causing your wife's UTI, which is urinary tract infection, for those people who might be wondering about the acronym. If you have a toy like that, the only way to really use it for a short period of time is to use a condom on it every time. It's a pretty big toy, so you're going to need a huge condom. I don't know if they make them that big. But the point is, that is not the ideal material. Rubber is not the best. And it's porous, it will hold bacteria, so it's a very, very limited shelf life. And to make the shelf life longer, cover it with a condom every time. That's the only thing I can tell you. I think, unfortunately, you're going to need to throw that one away. But you know what? Take a look around, because there are toys in that size range that are made of 100% silicone. You will be paying more money for it, but not having any kind of worry of bacterial infections, UTIs, cross-contamination, and all that is totally worth it. And it'll last you a really, really, really long time, completely sterilizable. You can boil it, you can put it in the dishwasher, wipe it down with alcohol, do whatever you need to do. But that's what I would recommend. Okay, here's the next one. Greetings, Ruby. I have been an occasional visitor to your Pegging Paradise website and recently messaged you on FetLife. Thanks for being a sensational advocate for pegging and a provocative and interesting pegging resource. My wife and I have been pegging for about 5 years. I don't really remember who initiated the idea of strap-on sex, though I think it was her, but suffice it to say, we both enjoy it, though I probably crave it more than she's willing to oblige. Nonetheless, I am grateful for the fact that I am married to a woman who is willing to switch roles when it comes to who's wearing the cock. We have a few different strap-on cocks, Vicskin Bandit, Slinger, Fieldo, and a generic 6-inch silicone dong and two harnesses, a Jaguar and a Velvet Nest Veronica in our collection of toys. Since we've learned through our experiences that adequate and generous amounts of lube are necessary for pleasurable pegging, we've used water-based lubes designed specifically for silicone toys and anal play. However, we find them to be somewhat inadequate as they tend to dry up and require frequent reapplication. Also, that stuff can get expensive when you have to use a lot of it to keep things moving. I recently heard someone mention the use of coconut oil, food grade, as a suitable lubricant for pegging play, and would like your comments on this. Our thought is that it should be safe for our silicone toys as it's not a petroleum-based product and should therefore not deteriorate the material. Also, since we regularly sanitize our toys, bacteria should not be a problem. We don't use condoms on our dongs, should we? As with most of your loyal fans, I suspect we are all concerned about safe pegging experiences. Any light you can shed on the subject is most appreciated. Here's what I know about coconut oil. I myself, believe it or not, have not given it a try. But I know couples who like it. I know that it is safe to use inside your body. I know that it will not deteriorate your silicone toys. I also know that if you put condoms on it, regular latex condoms, anything oil-based will deteriorate a latex condom. So that's a no-no. You do not have to put condoms on your dildos. That's personal choice. I know people who do it all the time, and I know people who think you should, but that's why I buy silicone toys, is because they're totally sterilizable. And that way I don't have to mess with a condom. Some people just, it makes them feel better, makes them feel like they're keeping it cleaner. And should you encounter any small mess, well, it makes that easy to deal with as well. So no, there's no should when it comes to using condoms on a silicone dildo. But if you do, then you can't use an oil-based lube. The only exception to that is there is a line of condoms that are said to be the best condoms in the world, called Sir Richard's condoms. Those condoms are made from what's called natural latex, and they do not deteriorate with oil. So that's a possibility. And people swear by those and think they're the most wonderful condoms in the world. So that's an option. And as far as lube, one of the things, you know, I'm learning so much all the time. Somebody asked me to do a show on lube because I haven't yet. And I think I haven't because it's kind of complicated. There's so many things that you don't want in your lube that I can see why you would turn to something like coconut oil, because it's very easy. The things you don't want are propylene glycol, which I believe is one of the ingredients in antifreeze. You don't want glycerin, because glycerin is actually used in suppositories for people who are constipated. So one of the ingredients in there, you do not want glycerin. You do not also want parabens, because although they're lovely at preserving your lube, some people are very reactive to them. So up until now, I'd been actually recommending a couple of different lubes that, when I did my freaking research, found out that they had propylene glycol, parabens, not glycerin, but shit. So I'm kind of back to square one, and I'm doing some research. My very first one that I think I really like is Sliquid, but I'll get back to you on other recommendations. For now, let me just answer that question about the coconut oil and go from there. And thanks for writing in. Okay, let's see what we have now. Okay, this last letter is actually from a man who wrote in, and there was some discussion a few podcasts back about the best way to achieve a hands-free orgasm. And he wanted to write in and give some input to that. All right, we were talking about an orgasm from pegging in under the typical week abstinence previously reported. Okay, so to give you a little background on this, we got some feedback from a couple of guys who wrote in saying that abstinence can be a positive factor in trying to achieve an orgasm strictly through pegging. So this is what he's addressing. Yes, that did happen. Was not something I was planning on or even thinking about. It was the first time I even orgasmed from pegging. The whole thing was rather spontaneous. I'm a married man with children, so most lovemaking is spontaneous and not planned. We are working on changing that for the better. On this particular night, we were in bed doing our normal lights out routine. We started getting a little hot with each other. Now I did something different. I got up onto my wife and started dry riding, so to speak, while kissing her. It was a hot kissing type of scene. From there, I got out the fieldo and inserted her end and lubed the shaft. I then began to just work it, slowly easing it into me. It was a slow pace, guy on top pegging scene. I just kept allowing it to go deeper and deeper while still focusing on my wife as much as possible. Finally, at one point, I climaxed. It was a rather large orgasm, and it felt like it came through me, a really deep orgasm, almost like I used muscles I did not know existed. It was a new pegging experience. I will say that I was rather worked up, and the orgasm could easily have been more of a psychological nature. Either way, it was an experience I will remember. Now here is the interesting part. The next orgasm I had a day or two later from normal sex was rather large as well, and for the next week, I felt some residual tingling in the area from time to time, almost like muscle memory, and my sex drive has been pretty high. Wow. Great description. Thanks for sending that in. I have heard from men who are new to prostate stimulation and pegging that it kind of wakes up the area and that they do have sensations that come back when they're not in bed, when they're just walking around it, and also that it can make them much more aware of that area of their body. It kind of puts them in touch with it, so they have more feeling there, they have more awareness there. It sounds a little bit like that's what happened to you, but that's a totally hot scene, and I can see why it was rather unexpected. So I have to agree that so much of this sometimes is psychological. I mean, even from the woman's perspective, same thing. You know, I can be just sort of medium horny, and then that one thought that just puts me over the edge will take me from, if I have to go to 100 and I was at 50, it'll take me from 50 to 90 in about 3 seconds, because it's just such an exciting thing that I see or think of or hear. So yes, psychological is a huge part of it. But thank you very much for that input. And, you know, I welcome any other input from guys about how they managed to have a hands-free orgasm, what they were doing, what it was like, what it felt like, why they think it happened. Love the stories, because, again, that contributes to the knowledge base and it helps us all learn. So, I spoke last podcast of my desire to go to DC and duplicate the ass panel back there, and that's happening. I have a donation link up. A couple of you were very sweet enough to just immediately write and want to donate and wrote me and said, so hello, where is the donation link? So I worked with my podcast mistress, and if I haven't already told you guys this, so Sal sounding familiar, although I've told a lot of people this story about how I got such a great response from you guys that you beat me up because I should have obviously not announced it until I had the link put up. It is up now. You can donate any amount you want because there's a drop-down menu that has a bunch of different choices. And then she put in this lovely thing underneath that that says, or you can donate a sexier amount and you can fill in whatever you want. You can have it be $69.69. You can do anything you want. And here is my promise to you. Any donation for my DC trip to get me to that ass panel at CatalystCon East in March of 2014, any donation, $50 or above, and I will automatically give you a subscription, the I Want It All subscription, which normally costs $50. So it's kind of like buying a top-of-the-line subscription to my erotica and then helping me get to DC at the same time. So anything you can give is appreciated. I am trying to get all of this raised so that I can buy my tickets in a timely manner. So, and it always feels so awkward asking for money. I don't usually ask for money, but there's no way I'm going to get to DC unless I get some help from the people that want me to spread the word about pegging. This is part of this that really just warms my heart, is that I know how much you all enjoy this, the people who do it, and I also know how much the people who aren't doing it yet really crave it. And I'm glad that you all can come here, and I've created this safe space where it's really okay to talk about and okay to love it. So what I'm experiencing, and this is the part that warms my heart, is that you're so enthusiastic about this pegging thing that you really would like to spread the word. But, you know, as we all know, that's a little bit of a dicey proposition because of social taboos and misconceptions and shyness and what have you, any reason you have. Well, consider me your beacon of pegging light in the world. That's why I'm here, is to spread the word. That is totally why I'm here. That's my passion. That's what I want to do. I want to spread the word and shout it from the rooftops. So any kind of support you can give me is appreciated. And I will go to DC and do the best job I can. I'm so looking forward to going to the other coast. I'm a little trepidatious about it going in March. I think it's still kind of winter there then. Maybe not so much snow. I sure hope not. Can you tell I'm not familiar with the East Coast very much? But I did research it really well, and it's at the hotel really next to the airport, right next to it. So I'm not going to need taxis and things like that. So it should all be quite an amazing adventure, which I really look forward to. So in the upper right-hand corner of my website is the link that says donate and get Ruby to DC. So I would appreciate any help you can give me. And then, I'm going to sign off, but I do have another, of course I do, because it's at the end of every podcast now, right? I have another recording of an orgasm. And I wanted to preface it with telling you guys how interesting this all is to me, because as you know, it started off with Zach's, and he's a moaner, right? And so then we had a young man call in who talked a little bit, right? And so this time what we have is someone who has a running narrative with their explorations, and he tells in great detail what toys he's using, and it's actually quite wonderful. One of the things that I find always amusing, and I don't know, amusing is one word, but I guess another word I'd put to it is, it thrills me, is this preponderance of people who combine religion and profanity when they get verbal about their orgasms. There's a lot of, oh God, and there's a lot of, oh fuck. And for some reason, that just tickles the hell out of me. Because my idea of what God is, he is loving us down here, having all this pleasure. He doesn't have any judgment. Or perhaps she doesn't have any judgment. So let me sign off here, and then I'm going to play you that recording, and then you get to listen to the music at the end. Please leave your questions at 805-500-6544, and leave your recordings of orgasms, too. I need a couple more, so somebody needs to call in and come on that line, okay? I really need this. You guys, help me out here. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page. I would love a thumbs up on it. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and articles and things that really never show up on my podcast. My podcast is available on iTunes. You can rate it. You can leave a review. Or you can also get my podcast by going directly to my blog at peggingparadise.com. And other than that, I welcome questions, stories, orgasms, and whatever else you want to leave on either my question line, or you can write me at ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you for downloading and listening, as always, and happy pegging.
Hi, Ruby. This is your friend in Canada, and I've just been listening to your last podcast, and just give you a picture of where I'm at. I'm laying on my back. I have my glass curved dildo at my ass. It feels very good when I buck my hips up and down on the bed. And I'm not touching my penis though, except I have my oscillator with the with the pillow top just under the head of my penis, and I've been masturbating for the duration of your podcast, and I thought I'd share an orgasm with you and the listeners. So here we go. So I've been feeling very good. My hips are bucking up and down, and my thoughts right now over me lying on my back and a strong, dominant lady with my ankles on her shoulders and her wearing a lovely strap on and lubing it up and getting ready to take me on my ass. And, that's where my thoughts are right now. And maybe she would take out her oscillator and rub it on my penis the same way I'm doing with mine right now. Because earlier on that evening, I went down on her with my mouth and sucked and licked and stroked her clit with my tongue while I took her oscillator and used it inside on her G-spot. She came very hard for me. And she loves to reciprocate with my favorite thing. Oh, yes, this feels so good. My oscillator's on level 1. Should I take that to number 2? Let's do that. Oh, God, that feels good. Oh, yes. I'm holding off my orgasm for a while. I didn't want to come while I was listening to your podcast. Oh, it feels good. My hips are bucking. And it's hitting right on my prostate with my U-shaped glass dildo. Oh, Ruby, that feels so good. Oh, yes. Oh. Oh, Ruby. Oh, yes. Oh, number 2 is absolutely incredible. I'm rubbing all the pre-cum all over my penis with a pillow top attachment for my oscillator. Oh, yes, that feels good. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In and out. Oh, yes, that feels good. Oh, I'm sure glad it doesn't use batteries, because I would have worn them out with this last 50 minutes or so I've been doing this. Oh, it's up on number 3 now. Oh, it's right under the head of my penis. Oh, yes. Oh, fuck. Oh, Ruby. Oh, yes. Oh, that feels good. Oh, it's building, it's building, oh yes, oh yes, it's building, oh, I'm still not touching my penis, it's just the oscillator, oh yes, oh yes, oh fuck me, Ruby, oh yes, oh yes, oh, you're kidding, Oh, God. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh,